All right, let's try this again. Welcome back to Dynamic Duo Sports, everyone. All right, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah,
That's
anyway,
awful.
welcome back, everybody. I'm Malachi, Zach here too, and we're the dynamic duo of Dynamic Duo Sports. Here to bring
Yep.
you some news, and we haven't brought you guys news in well over a year, maybe two. So this is a little revival episode.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I got a way better setup now. I'm not sitting on my couch with my phone and my headphones in my hand.
I'm live from a fucking shed in my backyard.
It doesn't matter where you are, just what you
Yeah.
got. And
Oh yeah.
you got some killer quality, man.
I got
So
some killer quality.
yeah. So news that we have today. We were talking about before. We already started recording the podcast, and we were talking about, sorry if you hear my keyboard, talking about the AJ Brown trade and who do you think won that trade?
Philly.
Whoever got AJ Brown, right?
Philly, yes.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is a very happy man right now. But yeah, let's kick it back to day one of the draft because I don't think that recording saved.
Okay. Yeah, well, day one of the draft is today slash yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. And so, well, I mean, if the first pick happened at over midnight, it was this morning.
Well, no, the first pick did not happen at
Well,
midnight.
why is ESPN saying it did?
I don't know. ESPN's fucked up. We're better. We're better than ESPN, damn it.
I am ESPN. I own. All right. I don't know. You think that this is my job and I'm supposed to know when the fucking thing happened, but I was busy yesterday. So I have no idea. I didn't even know the draft was coming on yesterday. Like I saw the countdown and everything, but you know, I was at work before then, so I didn't like pay a lot of attention to it. And then it's happening, you know. And I saw the Jaguars post the pick. Let's see. And I was just like, man, all right, this is what we're doing now, you know?
Yep.
So today's day two of the draft, by the way. Today's day two.
Yep.
And
Rounds two and three.
yeah.
Tampa Bay will be on the clock. I don't know what time, but Tampa Bay is going to be on the
It's the
clock at pick
Bucks. It's the
33.
Bucks. Who's right after the Bucks?
I think Minnesota is at pick 34. I think they're up next.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, how are you feeling about the draft? I said my thoughts before it cut out, and I was saying that we could have gotten better than a defensive end as the Jaguars. I'm a Jags fan. We definitely could have gotten better, you know.
Yeah, there
But
was no way Balky was going to pick a Jim Harbaugh guy
yeah, that's just, you know.
after what went down in San Fran. They don't really like each other.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I'm on the fence about it. I don't really, you know, I don't ever really trust whatever the Jaguars do as a Jags fan. And if you're a Jags fan listening, you know how that feels. Never trust anything the Jaguars do because it can either be really good for a little while and then go all to shit the next. So, you know, we wait and see, shall we? We will
Yep.
wait and see.
All right, so let's talk about a few more trade rumors. All right,
All
so
right.
Debo Samuel still wants out of San Fran.
Where's he gonna go? Where is Debo gonna go? Where do you think Debo's gonna go?
You know, I thought he was going to be going to the Jets. I thought New York was going to send the 10th overall pick to San Fran, but that never happened. And
Thought New York was gonna make a smart decision. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where Debo should go. Where? Okay. Barring like actual like cap room and everything, where would you want to see Debo play, other than the Patriots?
damn.
Yeah. Now I hit you with a hard question. Where would you want to see Debo play? What? Don't you know, barring your team and your team's success, it doesn't say it doesn't factor it really at all, right?
Yeah.
Put him on a team that you would like to see him play on, that you think would fit him very well.
You know, so Debo last season, I thought he was really good, you know, as a wide back. Mm-hmm. You know, he played wide receiver, running back. He did basically everything for the 49ers.
Yeah.
You know what? I think Green Bay would be an interesting.
Would he still be playing? Would he still be playing the role of a wide back, or would he just?
I don't think so. No, I don't think he wants to play wide back either. You know, I don't think he wants to play that anymore because you know he's you know getting carries, getting catches, all of that. It's a lot of hits he has to absorb.
So what does he want to do? I really shouldn't play to the player at that point, though. If you need a wide back and you have a guy like Debo Samuel who played the role well, to say the least.
Does a team ever really need a wide back? Does a team ever need a wide receiver to go and, you know, get carries out of the backfield?
Okay, well, no, but you know, it's not a big need, but if it's something that fits your system really well, why not use it? You know, and at that point, it's not his choice. You know, so I would, you know, as an owner or a coach, I would immediately just bar and like I wouldn't give a shit about what he wants. To be fair,
but then again, you know, he's a really good receiver, and at the end of the day, you want your guys
a good
healthy
receiver. Yeah, you do.
You want him healthy on the field, and if he's you know,
hurt, then he ain't playing. Yeah,
a lot of hits every game, then you know his body's gonna break down a lot quicker, and you know you're gonna start seeing injury problems pop up at like year six, year seven, and you know if you want to pay a guy in the long term, you want him to be healthy in the long term.
Yeah. All right, I have a question for you. You said you'd want him on Green Bay.
I think Green Bay would be a pretty solid team for him. You know, he gets to play with Aaron. They need a receiver. They need that. So, you know, he fills a big need for them, you know.
Yeah. All right. I like it.
The fact of the matter is this, is that Aaron Rodgers makes receivers better.
Because he's a phenomenal quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. Yep. I would agree with you there, actually. Like, I don't think there could be a better pairing for him than being with probably the best quarterback in the league, MVP, the reigning MVP of the league, Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah. All right, let's talk about draft day trades. You know, now that we're on the topic of the draft, did you see any of the trades that went down?
Besides H.J. Brown?
Like the draft trades, the draft day trades, yeah.
Well, it was Hollywood Brown to Arizona. I like that. You know.
The other Brown. Brown going to AZ. That could be
a
good
fit
for
him. That's a lot of speed. There is a lot of speed in Arizona. That is an explosive offense.
Tough team to cover. Tough team to cover, for sure. And the Cardinals, I mean, the Cardinals have been they've got to start making waves, man. I want to see the Cardinals make some plays as a team this year.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of them or anything, but it'd be nice. I love when the league gets kind of spiced up and teams that always kind of see mid-tier success either like blow up and see a lot, or you know, or teams that don't see any success see some, and teams that do don't. Like if the Bucks kind of just fell off this year again, I wouldn't mind. Not to like knock Tom Brady or anything, you know, I love Brady, but it wouldn't be something that scratches my head. I just love seeing when the league gets tossed around, you know.
Yeah.
But draft day trades. New Orleans traded up to number 11, and they took Chris Olave. Hoping I'm saying that right. Yeah, Chris Olave. So now Jameis Winston is getting
another pretty, receiver.
Pretty good receiver. Yeah.
Yeah, another one, you know, to pair up with Michael Thomas. I still like Tre'Quan Smith. I think he could be pretty good. The Saints, I think they had a really nice draft. Chris Olave from Ohio State. I think it's Olave.
Maybe. I think Olave. Regardless.
I have no idea.
Regardless, he's a pretty good receiver, and we'll see. We'll see. You know, I'd also love to see the Saints do a little bit. You know, because Jameis Winston. I'm also a Seminoles fan, and I was loving every second of when he was tearing it up over there. So I need him to do something rather than biting his damn W's. Some that he didn't even contribute to. Oh man. But yeah, that AJ Brown trade was mind blowing. And yeah, you were right, by the way, before it cut out, you were right. It was because they were offering too little of money and he was just like, nah man, I'm worth more. Yeah. And he was worth more. Look at the bread they gave him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 4 years, 100 million. That's you know, I mean, that's one of the best receivers in the league. But, you know, with how much receivers are getting now, and for the quality that's coming into the draft every year now,
mm-hmm.
you know, I at some point I think it's going to come to a head and the receiver market's going to turn and into the running back market, basically, you know, where you're going to see – okay, we don't really need to pay this guy because, you know, we can get this guy in the draft. And that's what Tennessee did.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you know, I don't think it's the smartest idea to do because, you know, if you get a really good game-changing wide receiver, it can immediately lift your offense to a whole nother level.
Yeah, especially if you're, you know, your quarterback is – hit on the money at all, you know, not even like a phenomenal QB like Aaron Rodgers. Just if you get someone like Fitzmagic and he is Fitzmagic and not Fitztragic and he's throwing like okay passes, then, you know, and you have a god tier receiver at that point, then you're balling. Your offense is good and you have a receiver that could, you know, arguably make some quarterbacks look good, you know? And it definitely lifts the offense for sure. So, okay. Well, while we're here, let's talk about, the NBA playoffs.
How are you feeling
about the NBA playoffs, man? Cause the last time we were on here, we were talking about,
The Russell Westbrook to Washington trade.
And all so much has happened since then.
Yeah.
Let's even break down the season in general. First of all, Lakers suck. And I love it. I love how much they suck. Westbrook's on the Lakers now, and the Lakers are ass. And I am glad for it, right? Both of our teams, both Eastern Conference teams, we're both thriving right now, you know. Zach, Celtics fan, and I'm a Heat fan. The Heat, number one seed, Celtics, number two. We balling, right?
Yeah.
It's great to see the Lakers. Thanks, yeah.
Love it.
I love the downfall of the Lakers and watching, you know, LeBron, the GM, not get his way for once, you know, to know that he needs to step back and let actual GMs do their job because it's not his job. And that's not how he wins. He wins by them putting a good team around him, not the other way around, you know? So that's that. And, you know, that makes me happy. But as far as the Heat go, I think we got round two. I think we got it.
Yeah.
The Sixers were getting slapped around by the Raptors. So I can't wait until they face a team like us, honestly.
Yeah.
What about Celtics versus Milwaukee next series? How are you feeling about that?
You know, all bias aside, I'm still going to sound biased, but I like Boston.
Boston in six?
Yeah.
I think it may go to seven.
I don't know.
Just because of the Giannis factor, I think something will.
But the fact of the matter is this, all right? Milwaukee won't have Middleton.
Oh, yeah.
Second round.
Oh, no. That's... Celtics in five.
Yeah.
And I'm saying five. Without Middleton, they're good. Still Giannis factor, and I'm assuming that's why you're bringing it to six. But without Middleton, Celtics, they lose a big chunk of scoring and defense.
Yeah, the Celtics defense is, you know, it hounds you. They play physical, you know, they know what they're doing. They talk, and they rotate really well. It's a well coached group, and I think Ime Udoka deserves so much credit for the Celtics turnaround this season.
Yeah,
he's really got them playing really well. Can we talk about Jason Tatum? Now, we always knew that he was a really phenomenal scorer, but
mm-hmm. his defense this playoffs, it's been out of this world. No, I've been paying attention. Yeah, no, he was slapping KD around like it was nothing. It was great.
I think we're really seeing the birth of Jason Tatum into superstardom. His playmaking has been on a whole another level. Yeah, he's always been a good defender and always a good playmaker, but I think this playoffs he's been taking it to a whole new level.
Oh yeah.
And
oh yeah.
I think he's slowly turning into it one of the most unstoppable players of our time.
Yeah. And I can agree there. You know, you've heard my arguments about Tatum. He's still a top 10 player in the league right now, for sure. Just overall. I don't know who I'd put above or under him. I'm just saying, like, he is hooping, and he is like the driving force right now.
Yeah.
Though the Celtics are stacked in terms of other good players. He's balling.
Yeah,
no, and the way he was slapping around KD, which, you know, you put pressure on KD and he folds like a pamphlet, but still, it's, you love to see it, you know?
Yeah.
So
Can we talk about the job that Brad Stevens has done for the Celtics? I know I'm sounding like a broken record right now, man.
But it's – yeah, no, I –
they
it's
have
admirable,
done some
for sure.
Amazing thing. They've, you know, compared to what the roster was at the end of last season when they got knocked out in the first round by the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
You know, you had guys like Jimmy Ojeley on the roster, Evan Fournier. Kemba.
How's Fournier doing this year?
I don't know.
Not great.
No. Oh, but, you know, the whole transition from Brad Stevens as a head coach, and now I always thought he was a really good head coach, to an executive, you know, first trade he makes, moves Kemba Walker to Oklahoma City for Al Horford. I think everything started there. Everything that went well for the Celtics started with that trade.
It started with getting another big who can rebound, you know, because watching the Celtics play the Heat in the 2020 ECF, even watching you guys play us, who was there to stop Bam? Who?
No one.
Daniel Tice was getting dunked on every other play. It's like you guys needed an Al Horford, you know?
Yeah.
I was Brad Stevens made a, you know, he made a good call.
Yeah. And, you know, Al Horford also has that, you know, presence in the locker room. Not saying that Kemba isn't a great leader, because he definitely is. But I think Al Horford, for what he is as a player and as a leader, you know, he's what they needed.
Experience, too. Yeah. Yes. They needed knockoff Grant Hill. He looks so much like that guy. Sorry, continue.
Then, you know, it was the hiring of Ime Udoka, who that was really good.
It was good. it definitely proved out.
No,
to be
no,
good.
No,
it
no,
was
no,
risky
no.
though, because you're bringing.
I wouldn't even say it was risky. You
it's
know,
a little risky. You're bringing a new coach to a team who already had bad habits and like crazy, dynamics and stuff going on already.
The thing with Ime, though, it's like, all right, what he was really like strong on was what Brad was kind of weak on. You know, I don't think Brad was really challenging them to, you know, break the bad habits like Ime did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's why I was saying I'm assuming he did his scouting and had some sort of idea of what Ime was going to do with the team.
Yeah.
But,
Tatum, Brown, and Smart were really advocating heavily for Udoka.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, yeah, especially at that point, you got to get him. You're like, oh, man, my three players who are, Smart, great defender, DPOY right now, clutch player. He'll knock down the shots most of the time when you need him to. And then, your two stars are like, yo, this guy could help us out. It's just, it's a risk for everyone else, all the other players involved. And the four of them, because I'm getting, they were willing to take that risk, and it paid off towards the second half of the season. You know, there were shooting slumps and all kinds of other BS, but the run the Celtics went on towards the second half of the season was insane and probably one of the most surprising things in the league at that point. So
I wouldn't really call it surprising because –
I mean, it was surprising to the casual viewing at the time because everyone was just watching the Celtics stink it up the first half of the season. So
But the one thing the Celtics needed to do was get healthy. And then at the trade deadline, Brad Stevens really did a phenomenal job adding Derek White and Daniel Theis back to the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Theis is an okay player. You can say anything about Theis, but he provides pretty okay big man offense. Off the bench when you need him to.
He's what you want in a reserve player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
same thing with Derek White. Man. His shooting's been pretty poor in the playoffs, but everything else has been good. And then the development and growth of guys like Grant Williams, Rob Williams, Peyton Pritchard, another young guy in there, I think.
Heat's had a great season too, and I'm happy about it. One seed, Jimmy, Kyle, and Bam both struggled with injuries several times throughout the season. We were winning game. We've won games without all three of them on the floor just because of breakout player Max Strus. Let's talk about that guy. What a bucket. Right. Man, I know
got rid of him to keep Shavonte Green on the roster.
Look how that's going, right? You guys are doing great, but Max Strus is a phenomenal player, and it's fun to watch. He's a fun to watch guy. He's what Duncan Robinson was when no one knew his game, except Max has more of a complete game. If you're like, you're closing out on him on the three, he will drive and he will score because he has the it factor, and I'm loving it. I'm loving the way that the Heat are doing right now. Jimmy is probably one of the best players in the playoffs right now. He's took care of the Hawks, made it look like nothing, averaging 35 point a game that series. It's insane, just dropping 40 out of nowhere. It's great. You love to see it. As far as predictions go, I know we're both going to be biased when it gets to the ECF, but I think we're both making the ECF, and either team will win. I'm going to say it's me. You're going to say it's you. That's it, right? We'll leave it at that. Western Conference.
Leave it at that.
We're going to leave it at that because we can debate endlessly about which of our teams would win that, and we're not going to know until it happens and we watch it. So,
true.
we could definitely debate endlessly and make good points and still come out with nothing. So we're going to move on. We're going to go to the Western Conference.
Yeah, I want to take a moment to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans.
Jose Alvarado, man. That guy's funny.
I like him.
That's a funny player right there. He's a funky dude, I think. Now, I like the way he plays.
Can we talk about the job that Willie Green has done for New Orleans?
Yeah. Can we talk about Zion getting fat? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no. The fact that New Orleans even came this far is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Considering they're not even above five. They're not even an above 500 or weren't even an above 500 team, you know? The fact that they even got that far and got two games on the number one seed best record team in the league, you know, and the fact that Jose Alvarado was just like punking Chris Paul on some plays is, you know, is insanity. And everyone is now saying Mavs in seven because of what, because of what the Suns let, you know, the Pelicans do to them, which that doesn't take credit away from the Pels because they were balling. But, I'd love to see Mavs in seven. I like the Mavericks. You know, they're one of the teams I like to watch. So, I'm going to go with Mavs in seven, just cause the Suns, they're right. You know, they got knocked out of the finals last year by Giannis, who's, you know, hopefully you guys beat this year. Love Giannis, but, shake it up a little bit. Yeah.
All right, let's stay in the West and talk about where Utah goes from here. All right.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell wants out.
I don't think he wants out.
He said he did. I saw something about it, I think on Twitter, right before we started this podcast. I think he wants out. Let's see. Because he was saying something about wanting to explore his other options, you know?
I think that was Zach LaVine that said that.
Really? Zach LaVine?
Yeah, that was Zach LaVine that said that he wanted to explore all options. But I saw something about that. I guess is all in on staying with Utah right now. But,
what?
You know, still, where do they go from there? You know, with Rudy Gobert, you know, do they move him? You know, what's left for Quinn Snyder, stuff like that, you know?
I think they have to move Rudy. And here's why, right? Have you seen the statistics on how much Donovan and Rudy actually connect, like on plays? Donovan passes to everyone else before he passes to Rudy.
Yeah.
Their chemistry isn't what it was before COVID because of Rudy's antics. Rudy... Now, stopping the NBA.
In Rudy's defense, he's not floor spaced, or he's not that, you know, you just pass to him in the paint and, you know, see where it goes from there.
He
doesn't really have any offensive game outside the paint. You know, he's primarily a defensive guy. So, and, you know, Utah's also got guys like Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, and
Boy
spaces like that.
But still, you know, Mitchell just not like considering Gobert as much as he even should, because Gobert can score if given the opportunity. You know, maybe that's not his primary role or primarily what he does. But I think that would elevate Utah if he did, and he doesn't. So, you know, moving on from that, I think they trade Gobert for, you know, someone substantial, like Kristaps Porzingis. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I don't know where Gobert goes or who they get out of him. I just know they need to add something, you know?
Utah needs to add.
Like a good power forward, you know? Like something that's not already on their roster that could definitely help them provide more offense. Like, say they keep Rudy and they get like someone like a Brandon Ingram, you know, someone like, they're not going to get Brandon Ingram. That's not happening. But they get someone like that. Now you have Donovan Mitchell scoring, and then you have a ball dominant player in That's too ball. That's a lot of ball dominant players on the floor. Two is a lot. Regardless, what I'm saying is you're having someone provide offense that Rudy's not providing, and then when Donovan's not providing, you have that third piece providing you buckets. That's straight up to the one seed right there. That's like, you know, you can say that for any team. You know, there's some teams you can do that too, and they wouldn't make a difference. Like, you know, you put anyone on the Pistons are still going to suck. But that's just, you know, that's what I think. I think they need someone to fill one of those roles that they're not already fully filled out on. Back to predictions, though. I'm going to say Mavs in seven, right?
Yep.
I'm going to say Memphis wins tonight. I'm hoping Memphis wins tonight because I hate the Timberwolves. I hate them. I don't like that team. They annoy me. I don't like Cat. Cat's annoying as hell. So I'm going to say Memphis wins tonight.
You're a Jimmy fan because you like Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler's
your favorite player in the league, so that's why you hate Cat.
I know. I just find Cat wildly annoying. He'll go and talk so much trash and then just blow it.
We're in Minnesota now.
I'm going to go up to Minnesota. Man. Wait, is Minnesota above me? I don't know where Minnesota. I'm going to go over to Minnesota and kick Cat's ass. I'm gonna get whooped by some 7-foot dude.
No, Cat would kick your ass.
Oh, for but, sure. Man. Yeah.
Man, so. The T-Wolves got to play with some sort of urgency in the fourth quarter. They're getting kind of pounded in that
quarter. Getting tossed around by Ja Morant in the fourth.
You know,
clutch buckets, just out of this world plays. Yeah, no. And Cat doesn't seem to be the closer that he's talking. Him and Pat Bev talking all this talk and just not closing out games.
Yeah,
and it's detrimental to them. They need to win tonight.
Yeah,
but I hope they don't. I would love to see Pat Bev go back to Cancun so he shuts up again. Who's next on the list? Is that it? There's one series we're missing that I haven't paid enough attention to.
Let's see, you covered take a look at the East.
Well, we already got everyone that's coming out of the East.
Yeah.
We covered that. I'm just talking about the West. No, we're just waiting. I think we're just waiting on I think we're just waiting on them to ball out. We'll see. What Memphis does. We'll see what Memphis does tonight.
You know?
We'll see. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the rest of these playoffs. I can't wait to cover the finals on here for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
We're not doing it live or anything. But.
That's going to be exciting. Oh, God, no. No.
That's
expensive. all the licensing stuff and all of that would be way too expensive. That's way out of my budget.
Let me pay 10 grand to the NBA to cover it live. no, thank you. Anything else you want to add, Zach? Before we wrap it up?
I'm trying to find something because I saw something.
Something crazy. Something big. Well, what you looking for? Best remaining players. What'd you find, Zach? What'd you find?
I don't fucking know.
Okay.
All right. You know what? How about we take it back to the NFL real quick?
All right. We take it back to the NFL.
Before we wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm down. What you got? So,
quarterbacks.
What about them?
Draft quarterbacks in the draft. A lot of people were talking about, five quarterbacks drafted in the first round, or what could be drafted in the first round. You know, guys like Malik Willis, Matt Corral. I'm having a hard time with names right now.
Right. You're still making a good point, though. Can you continue?
But Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback drafted in the first round last night. He went to Pittsburgh. I'm happy for him, you know.
Yeah.
He played college ball at Pitt, and, you know.
Now he's playing for the Steelers. He doesn't have to move. Yep. Doesn't have to go anywhere. He can literally sit at home and then stack his bread, you know.
Yeah.
Good for him, man. I'm
very happy for him. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where all the other quarterbacks land. Because I really like Malik Willis. I think he's a really good player. But I think it kind of shows what the NFL feels about, you know, QBs right now? Quarterbacks that were coming into the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, the QB market is not as – or at least they think it's not as great this year as it has been in previous years, you know?
You know, and Washington went wide receiver instead of quarterback. That surprised me. But, you know, they're not really run correctly.
their name is the Washington Commanders. They got a lot to figure out.
Yeah, you know, it seems like every other week there's some – you know, DA is looking into them, you know, whether like last week it was something about finance and like improper finances or something.
Yeah.
That team is run so poorly. You know, I feel bad for Commanders fans.
Just like give me GM rights and watch me take that team to the Super Bowl. That's all I'm saying. No, it's not going to happen. I would suck. My team would suck.
Like, their big problem is ownership, you know. Dan Snyder has to have something on every owner in the NFL. Because if I was Goodell, I would be like, get this man out of the league. He's really – he's nothing more than a stain. Really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, the fucking – the QB – market is it's not oversaturated, right? It's just it's mellow. A lot of teams are happy with the quarterbacks they have, and they don't see any point in wasting their first round picks on QBs they could definitely take in the second round. And they don't want to lose any like insane potential linebackers or defensive ends or things that'll just, you know, the weak points on their team that they can fill with a player they've seen and watched.
Yeah.
In college, you know, so. I'm excited for the rest of this draft. We will cover it more next time too. And also the rest of these playoffs. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it's time to wrap it up a bit.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to Dynamic Duo Sports. Once again, I'm Zach.
And I'm Malachi. And we're taking you out. So
yeah,
thanks for listening, people. Go follow Zach and I on all the social medias. I'm Young Homeless on pretty much everything. Like literally everything. Just look it up. You'll find someone.
Yeah.
And
that's all we got for today. We'll catch you all around one day.
maybe next. Hopefully next week. Let's keep this thing going, shall we?
Yeah. Let's do like a weekly thing. All right.
All right.
So once again, thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next time.